Welcome to Testimony Tuesdays, ladies. We're going to be discussing issues that are dealt with considering the stigma of Black women, if you want to call it a stigma of Black women. The first topic that I wanted to discuss was Black women are considered strong and having like superpowers for everybody. I know when I was growing up, I saw a lot of women doing a lot of different things, and we're always held to a higher standard than everyone else. What were you shown, or what was your experience as a girl growing up into womanhood? Panelist number one.
What I seen growing up is, I know my mom made a lot of sacrifices, working 2 and 3 jobs to take care of 4 kids. I was the youngest, and I know someday she'll come home, she'll be real, real tired. But she always taught us and told us, you know, you don't have your hand out. You know, you work for what you want. I remember some days that she didn't have a babysitter and we had to go to work with her. Even my aunts and my other cousins and stuff, we all like pulled together when things was, you know, going wrong or whatever, or, you know, everybody made a sacrifice to, you know, help out. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was the villages raising the kids, and it really was the village raising the kids. You know, you had your neighbors who can discipline, you know, the kids, you know, and it wasn't nothing about it. You get disciplined by the neighbor, your auntie, your mama, you know. So growing up, I was taught to, you know, like I said, work for what you want. And, you know, don't give up. You know, you got to push through.
Right. All right. And panelist number two.
I agree with panelist number one, what she said. My mom worked 2 jobs. I was the only child, but she worked 2 jobs. She got off of one. She went to the other. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. My mom, she didn't complain. She didn't complain. She just did what needed to be done.
So. All right. And I would say in some of my experience, I saw a lot of my aunts and uncles, they did a lot for each other. And some of them didn't really do much for each other. So I haven't really had a great example of what true love is supposed to look like. So I did want to ask, how can I say it? Who showed you what love is? And I'll start with you too.
Go ahead. Sorry. For me, it was my mom. My mom is the type, she would give the shirt off of her back. I've seen her when her sisters were sick, she would wash and bathe them. She wouldn't complain. She would just do anything for anybody. That is who showed me love.
Okay, and panelist number one.
I can say pretty much my whole family. My mom did, you know, she showed me, you know, what love was. And like I said, despite going through things, I can remember how could I put it? I know we never went to bed without saying I love you or whatever. And I could just remember always having a meal, regardless of to what it was. She always made sure we had a meal, made sure we had clean clothes, whether they was new or not. Gave hugs and stuff like that. So in a sense, she showed me you know, and, you know, my aunts and my grandma, I was known to, you know, to be shown what love is, but I also know what it is to, you know, separate and love not mean a thing.
Okay. I would say in some of my experiences, I had one parent that would tell me they love me every day, give me a hug, kiss on the cheek, and then I go on about my way. And then I had another parent that didn't necessarily ever tell me that they loved me, but they showed me in other ways. So it was like I had to bounce off of both of the things that my parents exhibited. And then in family-wise, I would say that my mother's side was sort of kind of unconditional. I mean, yeah, you know, there's some conditions where if you act in a fool, they finna discipline you, but that's still love too. But on my dad's side, certain family members did show me certain love, you know what I'm saying? But I really wasn't around them as much. So I would say that I grew up mostly around my mom's side. So I had more of an example of, I guess I had more bad examples of what falling in love is. So my next question is, have you had a good example of what a relationship is? And I'll start with panelist number one.
I could say I did. I did have a good experience of what a relationship could be for about 6-7 months. You know, I'm not the type to be really submissive, but I was able to be experienced to be submissive, you know, feel that love, that genuine love or whatever, things not being forced, and it's not being one-sided. So, yeah, I experienced it at least once in my life.
Okay, and panelist number two.
I'm gonna say no. Relationships are hard for me, and I guess because I really haven't experienced that what I think a good relationship should be. From what I've seen, I guess I'm gonna say on TV, that seeing relationships, and I know that's how true life is. I haven't seen really what a good relationship is in real life.
Yeah, I would say the same, because out of everybody that I know, I've even asked this question in a church, like when we were having like a Women's Day type thing, and my main question was, who in here has seen a relationship where there was no cheating involved or no, like, somebody doing the other person extremely wrong? Like, the examples that were set before me was there was a whole bunch of outside kids, or, you know, I would be spending the night with a friend and boom, a family member would be there. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I saw a lot of sneaking behind the back type stuff. So I've never really witnessed a genuine relationship. And people always talk about, oh, well, our grandparents always stayed. And I'm like, you know, back then, they were pretty much forced to stay with each other, because where else were they going to go? You know what I'm saying? Back then, the Black people had to stick together in general because of all the things that were going on. Did either one of y'all want to touch on that subject?
Like the things that... Really? Well, you know what? I can't. You talking about like sneaking around and stuff like that, or things that's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I can't say
which subject of the sneaking around.
Just relationships in general. Like, I have never witnessed a real relationship where the other person, like one person, wasn't sneaking around or, like, they didn't get cheated on. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anybody that hasn't experienced
it. Yeah, because I've seen people to where when I was growing up, she was messing with her husband. He was sneaking, you know, stuff like that. Or even family members going behind each other back, having a relationship with the same dude, keeping it in the family, stuff like that. So,
yeah. Okay, and going back to the subject of how Black women are considered having to be strong, have you ever truly felt protected? And I would start with panelist number two.
Not necessarily, no, especially not in my younger years. I didn't. I guess as I've gotten older, I've just protected myself. So that, in a sense, that makes me, I'm kind of hard, because I guess I learned to have to protect me. So.
All right, and panelist number one.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to agree with you, panelist number two. You know, I didn't feel protected growing up, and when you don't feel protected, you're right. You have no choice but to protect yourself. And you know, once you grow up, you know, a lot of you know, you try to get into a relationship, a lot of dudes perceive you as, you know, hardcore or nonchalant, or like you know what I'm saying, like you don't care or something like that. It's because you had to grow up being strong and protecting yourself, because you wasn't protected, you know. I can't say at one point, you know, the relationship I did have, I did feel protected, you know. I did feel protected, so I can say that for at least once. But growing up, no, I can't say that. It was like, I can't even explain it. I grew up a tomboy. So, you know, it's like I grew up surviving, you know, learning, like you said, protecting yourself. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I had it both ways, but I didn't experience protection until I was grown.
I would say the same thing. I mean, even though I knew for sure, like if I was to tell my dad something, he was going to come. Because I've even witnessed him do it for a sibling of mine. But when it came down to it, it was like, okay, some things had went on. And I was like, all right, you know, it was never told. One thing was never told to him. And there was another that was told, like he knew about it and he really didn't do anything about it. So in that sense, I didn't feel protected. But I also have a relative that she truly made me feel protected. I mean, the things that I was going through at the time, she sat me down and said, you know what? You don't got to worry about it no more. I'm right here. So that was the first time that I truly felt like somebody had my back. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so by that, I would want to ask, who do you talk to when you're hurting? Because I actually went to counseling. I think three different times I've gone to a counselor. And most recently, the last counselor that I talked to, she had that stigma of, or that stereotype of, Black women are all, mm-hmm. they're stronger than most people. So therefore I had to stop going to her, because I don't want to come talk to you when you think that I'm strong. I'm coming to you because I'm weak right now. So who do you talk to whenever you're hurting? And I will start with panelist number one.
Growing up, I was the friend that everybody came to. So I didn't have no moments of weakness in their eyes. But I would just deal with it. I hold things in. And I would sit and talk to myself, honestly, and think about a lot of stuff. But I could say maybe 3-4 years ago, I learned to start letting things go and writing things down. So, and I stopped allowing people to come to me, you know, because I could never go to nobody when I was hurt, you know, and, you know, I can't take on their pain too and my pain, you know. So being hurt, I honestly just, now I just talk, you know, to God, to the universe, to, you know, the ancestors. And like I said, write it down and I allow myself to let things go and know that, you know, if I don't give the energy to that hurt, then I won't feel it, because hurt is just a feeling. And the more you give, more energy you give to it, the more intense it becomes. So, like I said, I learned to release things. But growing up, you know, and even now, sometimes I do have a few people, you know, co-workers, you know, a couple of guy friends that I can kind of, like, talk to. But I still kind of hold things in, because I'm a private person. Like, I don't like people in my business or whatever. But I do know, and I've learned that you know, you have to, you know, let those things go. So that's it about that.
Okay. Like panels number one said, no one. I don't truly tell everyone, you know. You know, you have a few friends or my mom that I tell, you know, small things, but not when I'm my true feelings about certain scenarios. I just keep it in. And with that, I think I've built up a wall. You know, I built up a wall because you don't know how people are going to take what you truly have to say.
Right. Or even truly try to help you through the situation.
Exactly. You know, they may in return try to use it against you later on. You don't want to have that kind of that feeling. You don't want to be someone. At least I know I don't.
Right.
Can I touch on that right quick?
Uh-huh, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, you know, we as Black people, Black women, you know, period, you know, are so afraid of being judged. You know, we wallow in, you know, self-sabotage, self-depression, mental health issues, like you say, because people want to use it against you. Want to know just to be nosy and don't know how to help you or don't want to help you, just want to have it, you know, want to be have something mm-hmm. to talk about.
Yes.
So a lot of us, and that goes to, with me too, a lot of reason why I hold stuff in, you know, is because we're afraid to, you know, we and then another thing, we was brought up to be like on hush. Everything was solid, right. Or look the other way, turn the other cheek. That's how we was brought up.
We'll go in that house, stay in that house, and all that old stuff.
Right. Even back in the slavery days, when the master was, you know, raping the slaves, it's on hush, Bob. That baby came out light. Nobody said nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. So we was taught to not speak up or be solid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I ain't gonna get that deep, but
no, that's what we here for. Whatever we discuss, I truly believe that it doesn't matter if just three people listen. Somebody gonna be touched by whatever it is that we talk about, because there's other people that go through the same thing. Look how all three of us had that in common, that we don't really talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. We try to hold it
right,
in.
Right.
I'll have calls up. You know what I'm saying? So it was like all three of us were kind of meant to be on the call.
Yeah. And yeah. Panelist number two, I don't know if you heard me when I said, like, now I learned to release a lot of things, allow the energy of hurt. I don't give it too much energy, because the more energy you give, the more intense it's going to be. So I, like, write a lot of things down. Like, if I'm feeling hurt or something like that, or I go back to the past or part of the time that I was hurt, I write a letter to myself at that day and time, and I put, you know, what happened then, and then I put the things that I'm feeling now, the positive. So I write down the negative and the positive, and sometimes I read it out loud, or sometimes I just read it, read the words the way, you know, and make it sink in, and then mm-hmm. I burn it and throw it outside, so I'm releasing it. And that helped me to release a lot of things. It helps me a lot. So that's just something to help you.
Okay. Don't release stuff. I keep it in. Just, I appreciate you sharing.
I can tell. I can feel your energy. So I can tell. like she said, like the hostess said, we're one and the same. I can just feel it. Like, yes. You know, we came from so different walks of life, but we're one and the same. And like she said, that's why we're on this call.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I did want to ask, I saw this on a show, and the lady was asking, have you really embraced your womanhood or femininity? Like, and I know for one, I never really have. I've been so hardcore my whole life that it's kind of hard to let that wall down and just like, let me just let loose today and just feel like a woman. I've had hit and miss, you know, here and there, but I've never really truly just like walked in my womanhood. And here I am about to be a whole grandma. This about to bring another woman in. Like I have, like my mom, I've seen her do it somewhat, but she went through a little hurt and pain, you know what I'm saying? And I saw my grandmother that I didn't know my grandfather. He passed away before I was born. So there was nothing for me to really see except for my uncles and all of them kind of, you know, lavishing her with gifts, and she took care of the family and all that, you know what I'm saying? But as far as my walk in womanhood, I'm still lost in that. So panel number two, what would you like to say about like walking in your womanhood? So go ahead.
I've actually gotten better with embracing it. You know, I've gotten better with letting a man open the door for me, you know, like ordering for me, but like if we go into a restaurant, you know how they ask, you know, how many, you know, where you want to sit, to let him take charge. Because normally I open my door, I open the restaurant door, you know, all of that, because that's just who I am. But I've gotten a lot better trying to be more, I'm putting the air quotes up, more ladylike. Mm-hmm. But I still have that wall, you know.
Okay, and panelist number one.
And I'm like the both of y'all. I still have that wall. Days when I'm let, when I gotta show up, when I gotta show up, I let. You know, I embrace it. You know, you know, put on a dress, put on me some eyeliner and lip gloss, and go take myself out on a date. You know, and I'm act like most beautiful woman in the world, you know. But that's every now and then. But I'm learning to embrace it. No, and it like it was only one guy that I've ever like kind of submitted to, you know, allow him to lead me, because he showed me, you know. Otherwise I have a wall up. And you know, I have to remember, okay. You know, you're a mom, you're grown. So, you know, allow, you know, that lady that I know that you are to come through. But it's hard when you, you know, been so masculine all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like the show that I was watching, they basically said that the women that act like that are men that wear dresses. And I was like, oh my God. It didn't hit until then. I was like, that's exactly what we're doing. But we're kind of molded to be like that, and it shouldn't mm-hmm. be that hard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it my next question would be, what can we do as women to uplift one another, to help embrace ourselves? And I know I received a message before, like a few years ago, where they just wanted all the women to go out to eat and out to have a drink together, stuff like that. What do y'all think that we can do? And I'll start with panelist number one.
I agree with that. I was just going to say that. You know, have a weekly talk, a discussion. You know, it don't have to be in person. We sit on the phone and we do things like that. We take, you know, go take a girl's trip. It don't have to be nowhere long. Just go somewhere and allow yourself to dress like a, you know, a lady and accept compliments, you know, and just embrace it. You know, we have to learn to embrace it. You know, encourage one another. I mean, that's the pretty much all I can say. You know, say just you can learn from other. And promise number two, I like know you, but I can honestly say, when we see. Females that's just like too feminine. A lot of people, you know, run over there. Mm-hmm. And I know that's us judging, but it's just, you know, because we, you know, we like you said, it comes from when we was younger, protecting ourselves. So to just lay down, we're not gonna just lay down. You know, we're gonna stick up for us. We're not gonna let nobody run over us. But we just have to, you know, encourage each one another to. You know, let that wall down a little at a time. Stay cautious.
All right, and panelist number two.
I agree. I agree with you both said. Like the girls' trip, or even just complimenting, and it's not like go shopping. What do the people use, like tea parties, you know, things like that with the whole formal setting and all of that. And just be encouraging, just be encouraging. And we need to stop tearing each other down.
Right. The best example that I ever saw was my aunts. They would actually get together for breakfast every morning when they all sat in the same seat. Every morning, like, it didn't matter if they had to go to work, they would all come together, like, even on the weekends. My cousins, that's how we grew up so close. And it's like, family now, they're not as close anymore. Like, some of my cousins actually come up here, you know, to Houston, and we see each other, but it's hit and miss. You know what I'm saying? It's not like when we were younger, where we were made to stick together. Like how you said your grandmother, you know, you went over there, or, you know what I'm saying, aunts and uncles took care of us. It's kind of like everybody got their own family, and they don't want to deal with each other anymore. It's like me and my family, and that's it. So I think that we could do a better job as families also to set an example. And me, my cousin, and my daughter, we used to get together and, like, let's go out to eat, or let's go get our nails done. And we've kind of even slacked off of doing that. So I think that could be a major turnaround, and that's kind of a little eye-opener for me, even though I'm the one came up with the question.
Me and my cousins, we do that. We slacked off for 2 years, but we did like a cousins week, a first cousins weekend. And my first cousins is pretty much all women. And we'll just get together and we'll go bowl. And the first time we did go to the nail shop and went to dinner, and it was nice. And it does have a lot to do with, you know, your family and things.
Family's not the girl cousins that I did have. It's like we're separated. Sisters, my grandma and her sister kids, we're a separate family. You wouldn't even know we were kin if you didn't grow up with us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They act different. Like they better than us. And just, you know, and it's like when the head of the family is gone, there is no more family.
Yeah,
I can remember as a kid, man, you talking about we used to have so much fun. Christmas, Thanksgiving, every holiday. There wasn't a holiday that the family didn't get together.
The subjects that we touched on today was pretty much to help any other woman that was listening to the podcast. We've all gone through similar situations. We've all had our ups and downs. We've all had different things happen to us during childhood, adulthood. But the point of the matter is that we all should stick together and start doing things to uplift one another. And when you see one of your fellow sisters with her head hanging down, to help her lift her head back up instead of dragging her down. So I'd like to thank you for listening to Testimony Tuesdays. This is just a tidbit of what we were able to slide into this episode. And it's basically just about being a Black woman. As Black women, we go through a lot, and there's not a lot of help out there for us. There's a thing in our community that we can't go seek help. We can't talk to another person, or we're going to get talked about, or we're going to be looked at sideways, or we're going to be called names. When back in the day, if you were going through some things, you could sit up there and you could talk to an aunt, you could talk to a grandmother, you could talk to someone like that. And we've kind of fallen off of that. So we were just here to think about other input that we might be able to solve with the, or come up with another solution or something to be able to help other women. So if you have anything that you'd like to request, you can come in and you can send us a message right here on Testimony Tuesdays. I'm open to any questions or any concerns or any topic that you want to keep up or something that you might want to record and talk to me about. I'm open for it. Thank you for listening.